Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, chapter 1, verse. Section 1, chapter 2, verse 137. This is talking about deity worship now. 64 limbs of devotion. Archanam. Shri Nasyari Puravanga, Karma Nirvaha Purvakam. Archanam. Dupacharanam snand mantreno papadanam. The word archan means to offer items to the Lord with a mantra after performing introductory activities such as bhuta shuddhi and nyas. So the bhuta shuddhi means purification of the elements of the body. So then we perform achman, we take a bath, we perform achman, and then we establish our identity beyond the body, and there's different mantras that are chanted. Generally in Gaudiya Vaishnavas, our bhuta shuddhi is, we purify the elements of the body by chanting Hare Krishna, and identifying our body, our mind, our words as with seva bhav, that we're servants of Krishna. This is our, so we purify the bhutas, the panchabhutas of the body. It's told in Rag Marg, we generally perform bhuta shuddhi by chanting this prayer, meditating on the deep meaning of it. Naham vipro nacha narapatir napi vaishar nishudra. Naham vani nacha krihapatir no vanishto yatirva. Kintu prodhyan nikala paramananda purnavaitavdhya. So this verse is sufficient because it liberates us from all bodily designations of varna and ashram and establishes us in an identity as a servant of the servant of the servants of Gopinath and Vrindavan. So we want to be in Vrindavan. We want to be serving Gopinath in association of all his eternal servants. This is a perfect purification of one's identity. Once you purify your ego, this is all about purifying the ego. If the identity is purified, then everything else follows suit. So this is now, of course, he mentions that now he glorifies. This mentions this verse in 10th canto to support this principle of archanam. 1081:19. Swarga pavargayo pumsam rasayam muvisam padam sravasam apisiddhinam mulam tach chananarjanam. Worship of Sri Krishna's lotus feet is the root cause of all the perfections a person can find in heaven, in liberation, in the subterranean regions, and on earth. So this verse has the word tach chananarjanam. So archanam, this word appears here, archanam. And Jiva Goswami comments that this archanam is the root to glorify it in comparison to other limbs of bhakti. So in other words, archanam is being singled out here. It's the root cause of all perfections. Worship at the Lord's feet. Charan Archanam. This is the root cause of all perfection. So he's saying that it also indicates the other limbs of bhakti are also similar, also wonderful, and can give one perfection. If Archanam is not performed, still one can perform another limb of bhakti and attain the same result. So he can attain all perfections by hearing, by chanting. Then goes on from Vishnu Rahasyam. Sri Vishnu Archanam Yetu Prakurvanti Narabhuvi Yeyanti Shashvatam Vishnur Anandam Paramam Param. Those persons who perform Vishnu Archan on earth, they will go to the eternal supreme place of Vishnu, which is full of bliss. So there's one commentary here in this other edition of Nectar of Atsi Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So in terms of archanam, so there's a very long purport here in the same verse. The archan system in Hindu religion in general and Vaishnavism in particular is most elaborate, which is not found in any other religion of the world. This is one of the most fundamental and vital aspects of Hindu spiritual culture. Be it Vedic ritualism or tantric practices or Pancharatra system, Archan finds a very important place. You see that, how much the people of India are addicted to some form of Archanam. Everyone has their little puja baskets. Either they have their murtis or their puja baskets, and they're going to their local temple and offering their ghee lamps, and they all engage in some type of archan. It's very much popular all over India. So then he says that he describes there can be 16 items of archan. This is called sodash upachar. Seat, invocation, water for washing the feet of the deity, sacred offering of garlands, washing the mouth, oblation of five substances, panchamrita, washing the mouth with achman, bathing the deity, clothes, ornaments, sweet scents, flowers, incense, ghee lamp, food offerings, and then prayer. Asana swagata, padya argya achamaniya madhuparka, punar achamaniya, snan vasana avarana, suganda pushpa dup deep naivedya and vandana are the 16 ingredients of archan. So many devotees, on Ragmarg, they engage in manasi puja. They may have a shalagram, not usually a shalagram so much, but they may have a Govardhan Shila, Radha Krishna deities, or whomever. And they offer something, because even if we're doing manasi puja, there must be something offered externally. Some incense, some ghee, and some foodstuffs. They have it's called a panchupachara. Maybe that's also listed here. Yeah, that's listed here. So what they'll do is that they'll offer the minimum, which is panchupachara, externally, and maybe even less than that if they don't have the facility. Because one of the panchupacharas, idam sa chandanam pushpam, to offer pushpa, flower, along with chandan. But someone may be in a situation where there's no flowers, like in Finland or something, in the wintertime, and they don't have money or a possibility to buy sandalwood. Nowadays you can't find real sandalwood. It's very difficult. It's all fake. Doesn't smell like sandalwood. So it's better to offer pure mental sandalwood. It's better to offer pure mental sandalwood that you cut down the tree yourself and cut it into logs and you dry it out in the sun. And then you take a nice stone and you sit down and grind it. Mix in some kaffir in the summer, some keshar in the winter to make it heating or cooling depending on the season. And then you offer it. So that's all mental. And it's the best quality sandalwood it's possible to procure. And the Lord will be very happy with that. But if you just buy some cheap wood, some sal wood or some other wood that the store sells, and they rub a little sandalwood oil, synthetic sandalwood oil, they rub a little bit into the wood, and then you go, oh yeah, this is a nice sandalwood. And then when you actually grind on the stone and you smell what you've ground, there's nothing because you have the experience. So this is unfortunate. But especially in the Kali Yuga, this Manasi Puja or Manasi Seva is most recommended. So then there's also called Dasupachar, 10 ingredients. Padya or water for washing the feet of the deity. Argya or sacred garlands. Achmaniya, water for washing the mouth. Madhuparka is a mixture of honey and yogurt, ghee, sugar, and milk. Punar Archamaniyam, again washing the mouth. Suganda, sweet scents. Pushpa, flowers. Dup, incense. Deep or lamp, and Naivedya, or offering of edibles presented to the deity. The shortest form of worship or archan is called Panchupachara. Sweet scents, flowers, incense, lamp, offering of edibles presented to the deity. So this is the minimum that people do, and they often do you see if you associate with those in Rag Marg, Raganuga Bhajan Marg, and they also do their archan, they have some archan also, and their mentality and their meditation may be different, should be different than someone on Vaidhi Marg, but they do offer some articles. They usually offer a flower and some chandan, and agarbati and deep. They generally do this panchapachara, some sweet scent or some flowers. And if they only have very minimal things, then they use mantra, like idam sugandham or whatever. And they offer some mental sugandhi, some fragrance oil. Then idam pushpam. But generally the minimum that I've seen in descriptions of the archan, they have to somehow, I wonder how they do it, but the minimum they're required is to offer flour dipped in sandalwood pulp at the feet of Guru, and they make a tray, and this should be there for the even external puja of Guru and Granga, but can't even get sandalwood. It's not possible. So, of course, all these nyasas and mudras, and Rag Marg Manochandrika, Vishnu says that this isn't so much necessary to channel these mudras when we're on the Rag Marg. Now you see that Prabhupada, he kept the deity worship very simple in terms of these things. He didn't introduce, although devotees got into it, and then there are some mudras in the deity worship book. We've seen maybe Stapana mudras, Kurma mudra, and Gai, the udder of the cow, and Stanu mudra. In Rag Marg, we don't chant any mudras. We don't perform any mudras. In fact, it's considered pratipul. It's against the pleasure of Krishna. If you're standing around going like this, and, you know, like, so what are you doing? Just do some service. You know, I want you to scratch my back, and you come in front of me and go like this. And you know, and all these things. You know, it's like, what? You know, you're busy preparing to serve me, and meanwhile, my back is hurting. So, better we do the get right to the service. Can you imagine your baby's crying? The mother has a baby, and the baby's crying. Mommy, mommy, and the mother runs in, and she, oh, wait a minute, I have to do Achman. Achman, I have to do Bhuta Shuddhi, and then she chants some prayers. And then, and then she starts, doing nyas, touching, chanting mantras and touching her nose and mouth and to purify her body. Then she starts doing mudras and this and that. And then the baby's like, wow. Wham, wham. And so, and you see that when Mother Yashoda was breastfeeding Gopal and Gokul, then the milk started boiling on the stove. So she had dropped Krishna on the ground practically to run to catch the milk, and then she didn't stop in front of the stove and do mudras. She immediately did what was necessary. Then when she went back to pick up Krishna, of course actually what, you know, he ran outside or something like that. You know, he that was the Trinavarta Leela. You know, it became very heavy. And then, you know the story, Trinavarta. So she was, it's all kind of connected. She was breastfeeding him, and then he knew that Trinavarta was planning to kill him. That was Trinavarta. He knew his plan. But Krishna also wanted to go for a ride in the sky. The kids like to go in the airplane or flying. Go hang gliding or something. Like nowadays they hang glide. They get these little kite type things and they go hang or whatever they do. Jump off the mountain, glide down like this. Hang gliding. You hang and you glide. Glide to the some mountaintop. You ever seen? I never done, but I've seen. It's a new thing. But Krishna was hang gliding 5,000 years ago. So he knew that Trinavarta was coming. So he wanted that thrill, because everything is for his thrill. There's no work in Vrindavan. Vrindavan and all is play. It's like you can say there was some fight with Kamsa and with Chandor and Mushtika in Mathura. But there was also play. They were smiling. Krishna had an unfading garland of lotuses around his neck. And always describes when Krishna kills a demon, he's just smiling. You know, he's like, really, he's really relaxing. Okay, Rishasura, let's go. You know? So it's not much effort for Krishna. So then he made himself very heavy. He deliberately made himself so heavy. And Mother Yashoda is thinking, what is this? You know, my baby, he's only a few kilos, and I can't... The milk on the stove was one thing, but even before that, she was really so heavy. I want to put him down. And then she put him down, and then when she was out in the stove, then he crawled out and then got snatched by Trinavarta. I think it was like this. So then Krishna went around, and then he was tired of that, and the demon tried to kill him. And they said, hey, this is not fair. This is not the way to have fun. We're having a great time flying in the sky together. Now you decide you want to kill me. That's not a very good proposal. It's either you or me. And since I'm God, it's going to be you. So then he hit him, and then Krishna fell down, and the demon landed on a slab of stone and cracked, you know, got killed. And Krishna was saved. So Archan is, and Ragmar, this is discussing the principle of Archan, nectar devotion. This is called Paricharya. Paricharya means service to the deity. This is 140, first wave, chapter 2, 140. Paricharya to seva pa karanadi parishkriya tata prakirnaka chatra vritra dhir upasana. Paricharya means decorating the Lord with different items and worshipping the Lord with chamar, umbrella, music, and other items. Paricharya, Jiva Goswami says, means serving the Lord like a king. There are two types, decorating with items and worshipping with a chamara. So Prabhupada, of course, one time in London, they decorated Radha Landanishwar in a very plain way. And Prabhupada wasn't too pleased with all of that. And they made a poster of it. Radharani was just wearing a simple sari, and she had like a flower garland on and no jewelry and just flowers in her hair, something like in Vrindavan and Nitya Leela. And Prabhupada saw that and he said, what is this? And they said, Radha and Krishna, we're worshipping Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, so we wanted to make them look like Vrindavan. And then Prabhupada said, no, we should worship, we're worshipping the Radha and Krishna, our Ishta. We should worship them in the mood of the Aishwarya, the opulence of Lakshmi Narayan. Not the bhav. This is the important thing. The bhav, the seva bhav of the pujaris, it should not be Aishwarya bhav or Vaikuntha bhav. There's some vishramba. There's intimacy, but there's at the same time there should be some grandeur, some opulence. You see, taking that around the world, and even when the kings would build temples for Radha Govindaji and other deities, they would build them like palaces. And Prabhupada said, he said, when you see the temples in Vrindavan, you see the original temples, that their temples were built more like fortresses or palaces than just some mandir. If you go to Barsana, the Jaipur king built this huge temple for Larli to move over, Larliji, from her temple, which was quite small. And he had so many dining rooms for the deities and summer room and a wind room and many, many rooms to move the deities in Radha and Krishna. And so many rooms for the pujaris. You know, it's a big building, looks like a palace. But the deity refused to move over there. Came in a dream to the king and said, I don't want to go, I like my little place. It was a very, very small temple. But now it's been somewhat expanded. Not to the extent that huge palace down the other hill there, Barsana. So this is worshipping like a king. Because, you know, familiarity breeds contempt. Until we've been accepted in Krishna's inner circle of servitors, we have to approach a little bit from a distance. It's very interesting to note that in Brihad Bhagavatamrita and Raghavart Manchandrika, Sanatana Goswami and Vishnu Chakravarti are describing about the two forms of Radha and Krishna. There's Aishwarya Goloka Vrindavan, then there's Madhurya Goloka Vrindavan. And there's like two sections. In other words, Goloka Vrindavan, where there's Vrindavan, there's Radha and Krishna are there, and being worshipped in a very intimate and personal way by all their most confidential servitors, and Mother Love, and all the higher relationships. But then there's a form of Radha and Krishna that are located in Aishwarya Braj. And this is where worshippers of Radha and Krishna were worshipping in Vaidimarg. Rishtadeva is not Lakshmi Narayan. Rishtadeva, they're not worshipping, they're worshipping Radha and Krishna. They want to serve Radha and Krishna. But their mood is full of this grand mood, this kingly mood. So they go to this place, which they call, it's called Aishwarya Vrindavan or Aishwarya Golok. So exactly what, how it works there, but the way I heard it described is that Radha and Krishna are there, but they're in like, it's kind of almost like this, they're not so, they're like a deity, almost like deities. They go there and they accept the worship of their liberated devotees, and then they kind of like leap, walk off the altar and go on out of their pastimes and come back and accept the next scheduled offering. It's kind of like a Aishwarya, you know, it's like, almost like here. I don't know all the details, but it's definitely described that there's two sections. And even you see, these are kind of inconceivable things, but in the purports of Vishwanath in 10th canto, this same phenomenon is there when Uddhava entered Vrindavan. This is, you can see in the Bhagavatam also, if you look clearly. When he first entered Vrindavan carrying the message of Krishna from Mathura, he saw that the cows, it was evening time, the cows were returning home, they were happy, they were singing, their tails were in the air. And all the gopis were carrying water pots on their head and they were nicely dressed. In their happy mood, they were singing and thinking that Krishna's coming back with the cows now and will have his darshan. And so he saw a very happy Braj. Birds were singing, the deer were frolicking, peacocks had their tails fanned. It was very happy. But then as the chapter goes on, then he meets the actual Brijavasis, then he sees a different Vrindavan. Everyone's crying, no one is dressed properly, and no one's going in the house, no one's making any offerings, no one's serving their deities, everyone's on strike. The cows are not lowing, or making any sounds, and it's like a whole different Braj. So he explains there that during that time, when Krishna left, there was two Nanda Maharajas and two Mother Yashodas and two of everyone. One Nanda Yashoda, they were feeling in the bhava that Krishna is still here in Vrindavan. And they had that mood. And another Nanda Yashoda, they were in a mode of separation. So this is quite inconceivable. Even when Krishna was here, of course he had gone to Mathura, but there were two manifestations of Nanda and Yashoda. One in Aishwarya, that the mood of separation, not Aishwarya, but the mood of separation, and crying, lamenting that Krishna's gone and there's no reason to live or to eat or to do anything, to bathe, and this palace is meaningless, let us just lie here under this tree and cry and wait for his return. So one, Yashoda and Nanda and all the gopis, they were in separation mood. Another Yashoda and Nanda, they were in the mood that Krishna's here. And they were happy and they were preparing, cooking sweets for him and singing for him, thinking that he's coming, he's here. That's very extraordinary. So this is verse 141. Muhurtam va muhurtardam yastishted hari mandire Sayati paramam stanam kim u shushane rata. If one remains in the temple of the Lord for one muhurta, or even half a muhurta, he goes to the supreme abode. What then to speak of the person engaged in the paricharya of the Lord? So he's again there trying to emphasize associating with the Lord is so beneficial. You simply visit a temple for a short time, you go to the supreme paramastanam, sayati paramamstanam, you go to the supreme destination. So the topic under discussion is paricharya, or worship of the Lord. So he's saying this worship is very special. You can get such a wonderful benefit. So worship is always there. And worship is so beautiful because even if we don't have anything to offer externally. We can worship the Lord with mental items. I remember sometimes ladies sometimes say, oh, I wish I was a man because I have this contamination period 5 days a month and I can't serve my deities or I can't do puja, this or that. I said, really, you don't have a mind? You don't have a mind? I said, yeah, I think I have a mind. I said, yeah. So what about manasi seva, manasi puja? And it's like a new idea. They said, really? You know, Krishna accepts it? Because in our reality, it's all see, feel, touch reality. We believe what we can see. We believe what we can feel. But Krishna believes what we think. Krishna believes what we think and believes what we feel. Krishna accepts not only the articles or the objects that we offer with our senses, but he also accepts whatever we offer. Whatever you offer, right? Whatever you offer to me. Whether it's a leaf, a flower, water, whether you offer a thought or a feeling or a mental object, it's acceptable to Krishna if that offering is done with love and devotion. So, when we do manasi or archan or paricharya in the mind, we can do in the mind nicely. Even the 5 days that a woman is contaminated, a young woman, she can sit down in her mind and offer so many articles and do so much puja and everything. And that's acceptable to the Lord. So Prabhupada used to say that devotional service can never be stopped. There's no circumstance which can stop devotional service. It goes on everywhere. Oftentimes we find if people are sick and they're bedridden or they can't go anywhere, then they can actually make a lot of advancement. I remember once we couldn't go to school because we were sick. We couldn't go to high school. And we were home for 2 months, but we got the best. Those 2 months we were home, we were doing home study and taking exams. And we did better those 2 months than when we were going to school. Because there were no distractions and there were no social functions and no friends. I was just lying in bed most of the time, recovering and studying and reading. So I was in a very receptive mood. So we should never underestimate the power of our minds to engage in devotional service. Archan, mental archan. Of course, we don't want to chant our japa, just think about our japa, not chant our japa. Sometimes that argument is there. People say, I'm chanting in my mind. No, just as an argument. They're not really chanting at all. But sometimes Indians, we meet them. They say, oh Swamiji, why should I chant on beads? I'm chanting in my mind. And I said, well, I don't see much result from your mental chanting. You haven't really changed. Your character hasn't changed. But I accept your proposal. So you think it's sufficient. You're getting sufficient progress and benefit by chanting in your mind. So starting from today, your wife is going to cook your lunch and dinner in her mind. And she's going to give you your lunch and dinner in the mind. And then we'll see how much benefit you get from that mental cooking. And see how long you can last and sustain yourself with her mental offerings. And then he said, oh, yeah. I said, so maybe you better like eat tangible, real food. And maybe better do real chanting and see the benefit you'll get from that. Swamiji, I'm chanting in my mind. All right, good. Now, your chanting is very good. And you're so expert with your mind, I think you should start eating in your mind also. And then see where that takes you.